Welcome to the Shift with Beth podcast. I'm your host, Beth Shield. This is episode two, when your inner critic is running the show and how to take your life back. In the last episode, we talked about self-abandonment, how we learn to disconnect from ourselves, ignore our needs, and override what we feel just to stay safe, loved, and accepted. And so today I want to talk about the voice that usually takes over when that's happening, your inner critic. And the first thing I want you to know is this: your inner critic is not actually you. It feels like your voice. It sounds like your thoughts, but it's not your true self. It's just a part of you, a part that formed early in life based on what you learned you had to do to be okay in your world. So where does the inner critic come from? We definitely are not born criticizing ourselves. This part develops from experiences. It can come from a critical parent, a sibling who teased you, a high-demand religion, a coach, a teacher, or culture that taught you that love is conditional and your performance matters. Your nervous system learns, this is what keeps me out of trouble. This is what gets me approval. This is what keeps me safe. So the inner critic becomes like an internal manager, always scanning for danger, always trying to keep you in line. And here's the important part. This part is not updated to your adult life. It's still operating with childhood information. And so its goal is not your happiness or your freedom. Its goal is your safety, even if that means it wants to keep you small, quiet, exhausted, or stuck. So here's what my inner critic actually sounds like. And I want to make this really real because sometimes we imagine the inner critic as this loud, dramatic voice telling us we're terrible people. And it can be that. But mine is more subtle, and mine says things like, you should be doing more. Why don't you have more friends? Your arms are not looking as toned as they used to. You shouldn't be resting. You're being lazy. Who do you think you are starting a podcast? What if you fail and everyone sees it? And what's sneaky about that voice is that it sounds productive. It sounds like it's trying to help me improve my life. But the energy underneath it is never kind. It's pressure, it's urgency. It can feel cruel. It feels like it's never enough. And when I listen to that voice, I don't feel empowered. My body feels tight. I feel like I'm behind, like I'm chasing my worth instead of actually living my life. This part also shows up really strongly in our relationship with our bodies. It says, you need to lose weight. You should look better by now. Why can't you just be disciplined? You already messed up today, so what's the point? And then it shames you when you're not perfect. So we end up in these cycles of pushing and punishing instead of caring for ourselves. And again, that part thinks it's helping us. But shame never creates safety. And we need to have safety so that we can change if we want to. The inner critic also shows up right when you're about to expand, when you're thinking about starting something or leaving something, when you're putting yourself out there, when you're going after what you actually want. It says things like, who do you think you are? What if you fail? What if people judge you? What if you're not ready? So you wait. You overthink and you stay where you are, even when you know that you really want more. And it's not because you don't have courage or desire, but this protective part is so powerful and it's afraid of what this change might bring. So when I realized this part was running my life, I didn't even realize how much this part was running my life until several years ago when I was in full survival mode. I had just left my marriage. I was a newly single mom after over 22 years. I was trying to hold everything together, myself, my kids, everyone's emotions. And at the same time, I was building my business. And my inner critic was in overdrive. It was like, you have to keep going. You can't slow down. You can't fall apart. You have to prove you can do this. And I remember it was my first 4th of July as a single mom. I was in Park City with my kids, where we had spent so many family holidays before. I tried to take my kids on a hike that morning. No one wanted to go. And honestly, I was too exhausted to push it. And so I just went by myself. And after the hike, I was driving home. And all of a sudden, I just got hit with this intense grief and emotion. And it was so strong that I had to pull over. and just let myself feel this pain. I was thinking about sharing my kids, sharing holidays, not knowing what the future would look like, wondering if I would ever feel safe again, wondering what it would even look like to fall in love again or even let myself think about that. And I think about that version of me now, and I've done so much healing work around that version, and I'm so grateful for her for being brave enough to choose herself and strong enough to feel that pain. When I chose to leave my marriage, it didn't feel good. It felt like a death. I felt hopeless. I knew I had to do it to choose me, or I would lose me. But at that time, the pain was so excruciating, it was almost unbearable. And then I did what so many parents do. I pulled myself together. I went back to my kids, and we made the best of the day we could because they needed to know we were going to be okay. A few days later, I had a call with a woman named Sophie that I had hired to help me with my business. She has a successful consulting agency, and I knew she was a coach, and I needed her to help me with like all the administrative stuff, the back end, like all the stuff that I wasn't good at. What I didn't know at the time was that she was also a somatic experiencing practitioner. So we get on the Zoom, and she asked me how I was doing, and I said, honestly, I'm surviving. I told her I still wanted to build and grow, that I felt I had to keep the momentum going, that I could not afford to slow down. And she asked me if I would be willing to pause for a second and just notice what was happening in my body. And I completely fell apart. That was the first time anyone had really helped me slow down enough to feel how much I was carrying and to see me in that. And she said, what would it feel like to take the pressure off of yourself right now and your business? You are going through a massive life change. And if you don't do the work to take care of your nervous system, you won't have a business anyway. And it was like my body finally got permission to stop racing. And what I realized later is that the voice pushing me to keep me going was not wisdom, it was survival. It was my inner critic saying, don't stop, don't feel, don't slow down, because slowing down feels dangerous. And that part had helped me survive a lot, but it was also exhausting me. So I ended up continuing to work with Sophie, not necessarily to grow and expand. She helped me with some things in my business still, but I decided to hire her to do some somatic experiencing sessions with her. And I want to be really honest about this part because I think social media can make healing look like this quick, beautiful breakthrough. And for a while, I actually felt worse before I felt better, because I was finally allowing my body to process and release what it had been holding from years of stress and recent trauma. There were so many times I told her, I don't think I'm ever going to heal from this. I don't think I'm ever going to feel normal again. And she just kept holding steady, reminding me that my body was doing exactly what it needed to do and to keep going, and that I wasn't alone and that she was there for me. And slowly over time, I did start to feel different, calmer, more grounded, more like myself again, and that really changed everything. Because of that experience, I made the decision to go through the somatic experiencing training myself. It's a 3-year, very deep, very intensive trauma program created by Dr. Peter Levine, who pioneered this work around healing trauma through the nervous system. And I can honestly say it is one of the best decisions I ever made for my nervous system, for how I show up for my kids, for my relationships, and for the work I now get to do with my clients. I'm in my 3rd year now, and this work has changed the way I relate to myself completely. It taught me that healing is not about forcing yourself to be okay or rushing yourself to be okay. It's about creating safety inside your body little by little. And when you feel safer, the inner critic doesn't need to work so hard. Not long after that season, I kept hearing the words inner critic over and over during meditation, like really clear, inner critic, inner critic, inner critic. And my first thought was, oh, I'm supposed to help people with their inner critic. I'm supposed to teach this. I can do this. So I did. I created a masterclass. I built a program around it. And honestly, it didn't take off. And at that time, my inner critic turned that into, well, that was a failure. That didn't work. You must not be good at this. People don't want this version of you. People want the version that was in her marriage. They don't want this version, the one that chose herself. And I really questioned myself because I felt like I had failed. And even though I had done so much healing, the critical voice was still running in the background of my life in so many ways. But what I didn't realize was that the message wasn't about teaching it. It was about doing it for me. And I realized, oh my gosh, I am still being so hard on myself. And I remember kind of laughing when it finally clicked, like, wow, that message was not for my business. That was for my healing. For so many of the things that I went through, I would think to myself, okay, I'm going through this so that I can help other people. I'm going to help other people because I know what this feels like. And I made it about helping other people. And what I finally realized was I was going through these things because I needed to heal them for me. This was not about anybody else. And of course, once I did that work, there is a ripple effect, but it had to start with me first. So I want to invite you to pause for just a minute and just notice in your own body how this is feeling to you. Just slowing it down. If you never slow down, you don't even realize that this part is running your life. And so I just want to invite you into thinking about how this part affects you. When you're constantly busy, constantly producing, constantly pushing, you don't have space to hear what's actually happening inside of you. And slowing down is not lazy. It's how you become aware. It's how you notice things like a tight chest, the clenched jaw, the knot in your stomach. It's how you realize, oh, something in me is scared right now. And awareness is what gives you the choice to actually feel it so that you can heal. So I want to share how I work with my inner critic and when it shows up, because she still does all the time, especially when I'm doing something new. When I'm setting bigger boundaries, when I'm vulnerable with my partner, when I'm going after something that really matters to me. But instead of trying to shut her down, I sit with her. I listen because this part of me isn't getting loud to annoy me. It's getting loud because they don't feel safe and they want to be listened to. So I'll pause and I'll say internally, okay, what are you worried about right now? And it's usually something like, you're going to fail, you're going to get hurt. People are going to judge you. You're going to be alone. And I can just feel how young that fear is. And so I listen and then I thank her because there were a lot of times in my life when this part really did protect me. She kept me alert. She helped me survive in environments that didn't feel safe. But then I bring it back to my adult self, the woman in me today. And I say, I hear you. And I've got this now. That might have been true back then, but it's not true anymore. And then I ask her if she would be willing to take a rest. And most of the time, because I've built safety with her, she wants to rest. She's exhausted. She's been running the show for decades. And so in my mind, I actually visualize putting this part of me to sleep, putting a cozy blanket on her and allowing her to rest. And then I take my power back. This work is called internal family systems, called parts work. And there's a specific modality called internal family systems or IFS created by Richard Schwartz. And if you're interested in this, he has a book called No Bad Parts. And I'll put that in the show notes if you want to learn more about this. The whole idea is that we are not one single personality. We are made up of many parts, and all of them have good intentions, even when their strategies are outdated. And when you can learn how to work with these parts and create safety, you're not trying to get rid of any part of yourself. It's actually not possible to do that. So when you can learn to work with these parts, you truly set yourself free. And it's about becoming a leader of the parts instead of the parts leading you. So if you take anything from this episode, I want it to be this. Your inner critic is not the truth. It's not your intuition. It's not your higher self. It's a protective part that learned how to keep you safe in a different part of your life. You don't need to silence it. You don't need to fight it, but you don't need to let it run your life. You get to listen and then decide. And this is where you truly start to build self-trust in yourself. In the next episode, I want to go deeper into where these parts come from and why your body still reacts to things that happened a long time ago. We're going to talk about inner child work, anxiety, and how healing isn't about fixing what's wrong with you, because there is nothing wrong with you, but it's about helping your nervous system feel safe. And then in the episode after that, I'm going to guide you through a breathwork meditation session where you'll have an opportunity to connect with your inner child. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, I see you. I was you. I'm going to explain all of this in the next episode. If your inner critic has been loud lately, that doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It usually means you're doing something brave. And you don't have to do this perfectly. You just have to keep choosing yourself one moment at a time. If this episode resonated with you, I'd really love for you to stay with me on this journey. You can follow, subscribe to this podcast, Shift with Beth, so you don't miss the next episodes. Share it, please, with someone that you think could benefit from it. And I'd love to see you for the next one about inner child work. And if you know someone who's been really hard on themselves, who's pushing through life, who's in survival mode, that's the one that needs to hear this, right? You never know when something like this might be exactly what someone needs to hear. So follow along with me on Instagram, Shift with Beth. And if you want to learn more about working with me or the work that I do, you can go to shiftwithbeth.com. Thank you so much for being here with me, for listening. It's truly an honor that you're here. And I'll see you next time.